Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Angie Martinez in Real Life Podcast. Chapter 1, We're All Gonna Die.
Lauren London was the first person on my brain when I thought about having this podcast because of a couple reasons. Number one, I think she's super dope. I think you're super dope. And also, I think there's a lot to learn from you.
Hmm.
Are you weirded out by talking and doing interviews and sharing just what your life has been like?
Not to you.
Thank you.
And I guess I'm kind of like learning how to do that in this new space because... Mm. I'm learning so much about myself now, and I've changed so much. So, like, talking from this space, yeah, it's new.
Is it different?
I'm not talking a lot.
You haven't done a lot at all.
No.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Honestly, in talking to people, I just want to be intentional, and I want it to be a safe space. Because then what am I saying for real?
Yeah, and there's so many not safe spaces now because everybody's talking. Everybody, there's a podcast everywhere. There's an interview show. You know, there's a radio show everywhere, and... People are competing, so they tend to...
Clickbait.
Yeah, they want clickbait. And just what the intentions are. Like, you know, the intentions are not always that. Which is one of the reasons I wanted to do this. I really wanted to have conversations with people because I need inspiration just like everybody else does. And I really wanted to talk to people that I could feel, get good energy from, share good energy with, and then put that out in the world. So that was one of the reasons. But then when I told you the name, I was a little nervous. I was like...
You were.
I was nervous because you've experienced so much. I feel like I want to be sensitive to you. But then I thought to myself, is that like annoying to her that everyone would want to treat you with kid gloves or be sensitive or treat you differently? Like, that has to be a big thing in the past couple of years that
you've experienced. It's been a big thing. I really am grateful for it when it's genuine. Mm. I don't really like when it's pity. I feel when it's pity. Mm. I feel when it's like, I couldn't imagine going through that. Like that, no one ever wants to feel like their particular situation is like the worst thing anyone else could imagine because then it makes you feel so isolated in your human experience.
Yeah.
You kind of want to feel like, I don't want to say normal, but like it's okay and that other people could be going through something too.
Yeah.
So I do feel the pity makes me feel pitiful.
Mm.
But I do appreciate when people are sensitive because there are days where I'm like, I don't want to, like, no, please be sensitive with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's it depends on the person and their intention with
me. I think sometimes people don't even mean it. It's even like somebody, if we know somebody's going through something right now, the way people, especially in death, right? Like the way we treat people
don't,
we go to a funeral, everybody's like, doesn't know what to say. And it, you know, people,
we don't have death etiquette.
There is no death etiquette.
Humans do not know how to, we just don't know. Cause it's like the most foreign concept to us, but the most common.
And it's inevitable for every single person.
You're going to die.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's no way out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a funeral. And the thought of it feels like a fantasy, but it's real. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I just don't think that we know how to die or accept death. And then we don't know how to usher people in that transition either.
Yeah. What can you teach people about that, have experience with the experience that you had? Like, what was there anything that comes to mind that you're like, hey, maybe try this?
You know, or, I think just sitting with someone, I felt like the people that came to just, like, be with me. And sometimes I think just holding space. It's hard for us because when your friend or someone you love is going through something, you naturally want to fix it. And this is not something to fix. It's something to go through with someone. So you just roll with them. You sit with them. You hold space for them. You hug them. You feed them. You, you know, maybe not try to say something that will make them feel better, because it's really nothing that'll make them feel better.
And it's not really on you to do.
No. Yeah, right. Don't it's put not that. On you. Just hold the space for them. Yeah. You know what I mean? And just be there. That really helped me a lot, too.
It's, you know, one of the things, one of the reasons I felt like when we spoke briefly about this about a couple of years ago, I had a car accident and I had some loss in my family, and it shifted how I look at life. And I thought, before that year, I thought I knew everything. I'm spiritual.
I read every book. I can tell you all the books.
Right. But so when I got rocked like that, it made me realize, oh, you don't know everything, and you're actually doing some things wrong, and you're going to be uncomfortable while you're trying to figure out how to fix it. And so I think I fixed a lot of things. And I think sometimes it takes trauma or it takes tragedy to shift you that way. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I thought about this podcast. But the truth is, why do we wait till somebody dies to think, oh, I got to live every day.
Yeah.
Oh, life is short. My that's time true. Is. We should be reminded of that all the time, because.
Well, I think the pain, I think we have fear of people dying. So we don't want to face it yet until it's in our face. So to already have to, you know, you
but
don't
But whether
really
you have
know.
Fear or not, it's going to happen.
Yeah, but you don't know till it's at your front door. I always say the front row at the funeral is different. Mm. You know, when you have to sit down. Like, you know, I've been at a lot of funerals.
I bet.
I've never sat front row at one. Mm. That's different.
What does that do to you?
Shift your perspective on life. Mm. You know what I mean? Make you see not only that is life short, but that it's a gift. You know, and because everyone's time is so different, what am I doing with this gift? Like, oh man, I need to accept all of it, even the ugly, because it is really a gift, this experience. It's a karmic experience. And that's another thing I used to hear about and not know nothing about it. You know what I mean?
You have to tell me, because you've done a lot more work in that space.
No, so.
I really haven't. That's one where you were like, with healers and all that. I haven't really gone into that.
Well, you're your own healer. Space. You might not need to, you know, everyone, the path to it is all different. As long as you get to the end of it, you know what I mean? You might not need to do all that or have to do all that to find that healer within yourself. I need it. Guidance, heavy guidance.
Still now?
Yeah, yeah.
What has been the best thing you've learned from that, or that it's given you?
One of the greatest things I've learned that I'm still learning is that, like, food really helps with depression.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm an emotional eater, so my weight fluctuates. Mm-hmm. So, like, I get sad and want to eat a Twix. Or like pizza and stuff like that. But it would make me more depressed.
It's so funny that Twix is your
I love Twix.
Your go-to.
But then I learned that when I ate like higher vibrational foods, I wasn't so down. I wasn't so deep in my depression. So that's one of the things that I'm still trying to apply. And just that, like, healing is such a up and down experience. Like, it's not just like shoo, and then I'm gonna become a fairy godmother and fly away.
Right,
like,
right. I'm healed. I'm fine.
No.
And then forever you're healed and fine.
No, I don't know if that's for anyone. Yeah. You know, I've just learned that it does go up and down, and sometimes the shadow work is like that to me. Shadow work is really.
What is that?
So it's just like digging deep into your ego self and why you either have envy or why you have feeling to compare yourself to others, or why do you feel, you know, depression. So digging into that shadow work, that dark side of your other self. Huge. That's hard to face, right?
Yeah.
Because then I was really big on judgment. Like, I could look like, they don't need to that. Yeah. And then
when you think you have it all together, you're very quick to be like, I would never do that.
Oh, like, I was so good. Like, I would never. I'm not judging a soul no more. Because really? I just realized in my shadow work that my judgment of them was my judgment of myself. It was just really my harsh judgment on myself. I didn't give myself no slack. But it appeared that it was that judgment on others.
I feel like that too. And that's one of my things. It's like, even if you're going through something, why we got to be heavy about it? I'm always like, whenever I want to talk about this. And but I don't want to be heavy or heady or like preachy or soapboxy. I hate a soapbox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but I'm deeper than the earth. Like I'll go, we'll can go all. I'm dramatic too, so I'm like, oh, we can go all the way. Nip used to say that, like, you are deeper than the earth. God damn. Like,
But wasn't he though?
Yeah, hell yeah.
He had a lot of nerve.
He was like a highly spiritual, intelligent person. Like he was all into space and stuff like that. I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that is that I feel like I know, and it's I hate this about it, but I feel like I got to know him so much more, like a lot of people did,
yeah,
after he was gone.
That just means his purpose lives on, you know what I mean? That just means his purpose did not leave with the body, that the spirit just kept moving.
But what the whole world saw and kind of re-fell in love with or fell deeper in love with after,
yeah,
you were living that.
Yeah, I think, but here's the thing, when someone leaves their body, then they become like ultra human. I was living with a human.
Man. So he was not perfect.
No.
He was not this perfect, like.
Who is?
Doing the right thing, but, you know, all
no,
the time.
He, no one is, but, yeah. You know, he had good intentions. Mm. And I think that we are really, intention is so important. We're really like kind of, our lives are based on like our daily intentions. He had really good intentions. He really meant well.
And he was doing great work.
Yeah.
What he was doing was not light work.
He loved for people to be at a high level. Like, he was not a hater. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he wasn't really in his, he wasn't someone that operated out of his ego in that space when it came to other people.
Sometimes when people pass early, there's signs of it earlier. This might be a little weird, but, and then some that there you never would expect.
No, I thought Hustle was Superman. He'll live forever.
Really?
I thought I was going to go first.
Really?
I would always ask questions like, well, what are you going to do when I die? Like, I was always so morbid.
You would think that?
I thought I was going to die early in my 20s. Because I just had these like crazy dreams growing up. So, but then I had Cameron, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm not going to pass early. I just never, growing up, I didn't have such an attachment to Earth.
Uh-huh.
This sounds weird.
Yeah, no, but please. Okay. I like it.
I was a little weird. I didn't have an attachment.
There's no wrong answers here.
Okay, no. I didn't have an attachment to Earth.
Because you were a unicorn.
I was a unicorn. Yes. I don't know what the fuck I was, but I didn't have an attachment, and then I had my first son, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll be here a little longer. And then good things started to happen. It could have been my trauma that I was just like over life.
Yeah.
And then good things started to happen to me. And I was like, oh, I like life. It's cool. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I always have these, I ask people hella morbid questions. I don't anymore because it just got too real.
Yeah.
But I used to ask hella.
Tell me one.
Like, oh, I want this song to be played at my funeral.
Oh, you would think about that a lot.
Girl. Mm. And then one time I was in the car thinking about it and the damn song played. And on the radio, I was like, let me stop thinking about this type of shit because I could be willing this shit into my life.
That's what I wondered. And even when I named this, I was worried about, like, if I say that all the time, does that bring it? I'm like, no, because my intention is really, it's not about death. It's about life. It's about just reminding ourselves that our time here is limited.
Yeah.
And so then once I kind of came to grips with that, then I was like, oh, it's okay. I'm not willing. Because you
believe
that. No,
you're not willing.
I'm not willing that.
No.
Right?
Okay. No, 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 no. I think you're giving out information and you're also making people comfortable with a topic that we
don't ever face until it's too late. Or until it's
We're not prepared.
And then there's a whole other thing about it that we're not prepared for, just in dealing with it. Like,
It's the 3 years later, Tim, for me, that I feel really kicks in the 5 years later. Like,
what is that?
Because, you know, at first you're in shock. Uh-huh. And then there's a lot of attention and love around you. And then people get back to their lives. And then now you're like, well, how do I get back to my life when it's shifted so much? And then what does life look like for me now? And then you're like rebirthing. Then someone dies and now you're in a rebirth. But you're in the rebirth. And that's weird.
And then people kind of start going away.
People, yeah, they live their lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they start talking bad about you again. They don't give a fuck about you no more.
Who is talking bad about you?
No, I'm just saying, anybody.
Tell me right now.
No. Anybody.
Who did it?
No one did anything. Okay. But you know what I mean? They're like, oh.
Because do you feel like there's an army of people out here that want to protect you?
I do, yeah. I feel like people do
love me. Like, if you said who did it right now,
I
feel like there would be an army of people that would show up for you.
That makes me feel good inside.
You do, right?
I didn't always feel like that, yeah.
I feel like you are definitely, people want to protect you and people want to like show you love. Even when I say, I'm talking to Lauren, they're like, oh God, how's she doing?
See?
Everybody's like, oh, there's like a soft, like, I don't know, there's like
maybe
a tender
spot. Maybe because people
knew
I was on my way out. I was feeling like, I don't know.
No, I did think about you a lot though during those times, and prayed for you a lot in that times. But now that you're like, and then you get to a place where you want to do rebirth, how are you doing that? Are you doing that?
I have to.
You started working again.
Yeah, I just finished. I just did a whole movie.
You did another. Well, you did the movie.
Oh yeah, I did it too.
Michael B.
Oh shit, yeah. Yeah, hello. You're right. And that's so grief also messes up your memory.
Wasn't that the first time?
Yeah, that was the first thing you did. But grief really strikes your memory different.
What does it do?
It just like you block out a lot of things. Huh. You know when you're pregnant and you're like, I have pregnancy brain?
Yes.
Grief brain is real.
Really? And still happening. Does it still happen all the time?
People would tell me about something that happened in 2016. And I'm like, yeah, I don't remember. I like block a lot of my old life out in a weird way.
Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah.
Why?
It's gonna sound crazy, but I'm taking like I. There was a time I couldn't even take a shower. There was a time I didn't even laugh, and I remember feeling so dark. Like, am I ever going to laugh? You know what I mean? Am I ever going to something really make me chuckle? Genuinely. And yeah, I have laughed, and I take a lot of showers.
Did you take a shower today?
I took one today.
Good for you. Yeah. Your hair is done. You look like you got
my nails are done. Yeah, like you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I was really in a dark space. Yeah. I think and I am someone that I don't just feel it. I go in it. Mm-hmm. I'm just proud that I'm not where I was 3 years ago.
Mm. What do you want to do? Still, have you thought about that? Like, what is the, if we're talking about like our time is limited here, like what do you want to do with the rest of that?
I really want to like be peaceful, and I would like to like give peace to others. It's very simple. I don't have like these large accomplishments anymore where like, oh, I want to win an Oscar. Like, I don't have those.
Did you use that was used
to? Yeah, but I think that was because that was like expected. Like, that's what you're supposed to
want
to do. Yeah. I don't know if I ever really cared. But I think I just don't want to miss my mark. Mm. Whatever God has for me to do on earth in the realest way, I do not want to miss that mark. I just want to do that every day.
So do you know what that mark is, or you're still figuring it out all the time?
I'm still figuring it out. I do feel like having a good intention, speaking out, you know, being kind to people, not overexerting myself because then I'll be a fraud. Mm. I do think that a lot of my work now might not be in front of the camera. It might be behind the camera and encouraging someone else in front of the camera. I want to be more creative behind the scenes.
Is there anything you don't want to do that maybe you used to do?
Red carpets.
I felt that deep.
I don't really want to walk those no more. Damn.
If you could live your life perfectly.
Never again. Or work out.
Feel
I wouldn't to pick up a damn weight.
No soul cycle for you.
Oh, though. Child, no. I would be sitting up there chilling in the mountains. But yeah, I mean, I am grateful of the jobs that I recently just did. They were really good.
Dope. What is anything you want to share?
Yeah, I just did this movie with Kenya Barris, Eddie Murphy,
nice.
Nia Long, Jonah Hill, who's my new best friend.
No, he's dope.
I love me
he's
some
really
Jonah.
Funny.
Yeah, he's awesome. It was a really good film, and it was the first time I ever did a movie outside of Without Remorse where like I didn't feel the pressure of having to like be a certain way. I just showed up.
What is that normally how you feel? Like you have to be a certain
no,
way?
No, yeah. Well, you know, you just want to like make sure your lines are perfect. You just want to make sure you're perfect. You have all this pressure of like being perfect. And I was just an observer. I just watched, and I was just a part of the experience. I wasn't in my head about it, and that was new for me.
Do you feel like having had gone through such a trauma and tragedy that there's something also beautiful that you get after going through that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just more present as a mom. Mm. You know what I mean? And I have this like freedom of just focusing on them and my relationship with God. Mm. Like, that's it. That is it.
What do you pray for most?
Peace.
Oh my God.
I pray for peace a lot. All 24/7 peace and protection. Mm. Those are really important for me.
For you, for your family.
For my family.
Yeah.
For my family, yeah.
What about anger?
No, and that's the thing. I'm not angry. I'm not angry as much as I am like, You know what I mean?
Never at no point did that kick in.
Of course, it does. And you know, I get agitated with people easier. Uh-huh. I feel like it came disguised as control. Now I have like strong control issues that I'm working through. Uh-huh. I have to control every little thing in a weird way because maybe I don't want to be angry.
Or surprised.
Untraumatized. Well, that could be underneath that. Sadness clearly is anger, but it hasn't showed up how it used to. Mm. Where for me, I used to like ready to fight.
Who was you fighting?
Oh my God. Myself mostly, but you know what I mean? Anything would piss me off. And I'd be like, well, what were we gonna do with it? You wanna fight? No, cool, shut it up. Like, you know what I mean? That was always instead of like talking things out, I'd be like, are we fighting? No, so shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
In relationships too, you combative in your relationship.
And I'm not fighting in my relationship.
Not physically, but.
Am I combative? I think I used to have a really smart ass mouth.
Yeah, I could see that. I could totally
I think I was
see
always,
that.
I always say I'm not good for the male ego. I'm not the partner for, if you have an ego that needs to be stroked, I'm not your girl.
You got the wrong chick.
Because I'm giving all truth. I'm truth down. Like, not so much. You know what I mean?
And they probably love that about you.
And I think it makes me a good friend.
Because it's honest, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep it real with you. Because I want you to be your highest. Yeah. You know?
And you're like that with your kids too, I imagine.
I'm so honest with my damn kids, my poor kids. But that makes them trust me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes them, and that makes me trust them.
How are they doing through everything?
You know, theirs shows up in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, kids they internalize everything until they get in their teens. So I'm sure, you know, I'm trying my best to help them cultivate how to deal with their emotions mm-hmm. as best as I can through therapy and, you know, I try to be an example. So like they see me meditate, you know, we go on, they come with me to my spiritual retreats.
They do.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
my kids would never.
Well, they're really young still. I'm sure Cam is over it. Or like any type of like church or anything that I do that feeds my soul, I share with them. Cause I feel like I don't know where they're going to go with their life. But as long as they have the tools on like, you know, I remember my mom was angry or stressed. She did this. Let me try that. So I'm just, you know, they're doing great, much better now.
Thank God.
Yeah. And I just love on them so hard.
I can tell.
So hard.
They're so cute.
They're so cute. But they're really dope. Like, they're really, I'm like, you guys are my favorite human beings on planet Earth.
I love that. Are they showing signs of what they want to be or what they want to do?
Yeah. So Cam raps really well, but I don't know if he wants to do it because I think it comes too easy for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he like freestyles like crazy.
Wow.
And he can make his own songs, and he's really good with numbers and math, and he wants to be like a finance guy. He's like,
he wants to be a finance guy.
Yeah, no,
guy?
Like, he's like, I'm gonna be. He loves numbers.
That's so cute.
And I think Cross just wants to be Spider-Man right now. We don't know yet. He's just
how old is he?
Five.
And what do you tell them about death? Do you talk to them? Yeah, I feel like never talk to kids.
Oh,
about
well, that. I had to. Yeah, I was the one who had to break the news to them. So yeah. So, but no one could have done that for me. I had to do that.
Of course.
Nobody
prepares you for that.
No. Even though, you know, in my previous years, I went to a seminar about death.
Okay, you have to tell. You're just telling
God.
Me this now.
I know,
like,
yeah.
Please share. Why?
I have a friend.
Why were you there? And what did you learn?
I learned that no one really dies and that, you know, it's just an experience in the physical form and we're attached to our personalities, but that we're just souls and that we continue and continue and continue. And if you have a spiritual relationship with someone on Earth, you will have one with them when you leave Earth. So I did this like 2-day seminar on death. So
and this was how long ago?
I had to be like 25.
What sent you there?
Do
you find that weird though?
I'm weird.
No, it's not weird that you would go. It's just, it's almost like you were preparing yourself for what you would have to
deal
with.
Well, I told you I didn't have such a connection to Earth. at a young age.
I know, but you don't find that as like you were preparing yourself for what you were going to have to deal with.
But that we're all going to have to deal with.
That's true. Point. All right. Very good. That's a solid point, Lauren.
You know what I mean? Solid it's point. Not just me. Like, you're we all right. have to go through it.
This is the point of this conversation.
Right?
Yes. Sorry. Like, I forgot. Even I forget sometimes. This is going to happen to every single human.
It is.
But why were you so aware of that? And what even sent you there? You
just I am a little bit of a fanatic about truth. Mm. So if it's something, I love truth. So I think I'm telling you, I did a lot of like spiritual work as a young girl because I had a pretty traumatic childhood that I needed to get some peace. Now this is my second trauma and this is my second quest for a deeper spiritual understanding. So now I was like reading all the books, but now I'm applying all the books. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I did this seminar. I went to this conference with a friend of mine who actually is a intuitive. And it gave me a better concept of it. It didn't totally prepare me because I don't think anything could really prepare.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and challenge all-star.
And speaking of all-stars, All Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you for that? But it gave me language to talk to my kids about.
That's amazing.
So I say the words transitioned, and, you know, I always say that, like, you know, daddy is everywhere, and, you know, he feels us, we feel him, and anytime there's something you want to say, you might not hear him, but you'll feel it and follow that guidance and write letters and talk to him or, you know, stuff like that.
Do you feel, like, empathetic to other people who kind of go through things now in a different way? I consider myself to be, like, a super empath. Like, almost that I have to work on it to because I feel sometimes a little too much for people.
But that's your power. And if you calm it down, then your intuition won't be so high. So don't calm it down.
Yeah, but does it really serve? Well, if 3 people in the room are down, does it serve for you to go down with them?
No, you don't have to go down with them. But that's really good, you're an empath. Because that means you're really intuitive.
I think we should all be empathetic.
Yeah, but some of us aren't that touched with other people's energy because we're too much in our own.
But you don't think consuming other people's energy could sometimes not be.
Well, you have to learn to, like.
Well, this is what I'm working on.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
I can't, you know, if my friend's like going through, I can't go down with you. Like, I have to be able to hear you and then go have my day.
Otherwise, that's your practice then.
It's so hard.
See, I don't have that issue. Oh, okay, I wish I did.
No, you don't.
I mean, of course I have like compassion.
Don't wish for any issues, by
no,
the way.
But I mean, I wish that. I guess I am. I do pick up my energy really well, but I do know how to shake other people's energy off fast. Mm.
That's good. You need that probably, especially. Especially in this town. I was thinking about you when I landed. I was like, either you see, like, Nipsey's everywhere in LA. There are murals. There is, like...
Oh, yeah. No, it's not easy.
And then I thought, I wonder if Lauren has ever thought about moving, or does she enjoy being...
Want to move all the time. I just know it's not the right time for my family if I leave.
But you also love LA.
I love it. It's tattooed on me.
Yeah.
It, to the death of me, I love LA, but it's too heavy for me right now. Yeah.
Everywhere you go, right?
Not even just, I mean, it's not even that, because he's in my house everywhere, and I sleep and wake up with him on my mind, so I'm in it. But it's just that LA feels really heavy. Mm. It feels heavy for me.
And so for your kids, you would stay put?
Staying put right now, yeah. And then I just don't think it's like a good time for like the rest of our family that loves us and wants to make sure they have a close eye on us. And, you know, but yeah, I would go to the desert. And
what would you do in the desert, Lauren?
I don't know.
Just
sit.
Build a hut with your children.
A nice hut. A real nice hut.
a
glamorous luxury hut, honey. We still need our comfort. No, I would. I don't know. I would just be. I think.
Could you really? Because we say that.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Really?
Without a doubt.
I don't know why I don't believe you.
I don't know why you don't.
Because I still feel like you have one foot in where you're like, you still love, I would imagine you still love what you do. Like, do you still love acting?
I do love acting.
Okay.
I don't like the politics with acting.
Okay. Oh, the business of it, probably.
I don't like the business of it, but I love action. Mm. And then you say, "You, I love that. I love that."
Well, this is why I stay. You still have one foot in.
But I could, like, come and do that and go back.
Yes, that you could do.
Yeah.
But you don't want to give up. Or you do. You just want to disappear.
I sometimes do want to disappear, but I don't think that's a part of my calling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think I'd be being
selfish.
Sorry
to say, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think I'd be selfish, and I think then I wouldn't be complete. But the selfish side of me would love to disappear sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you do things for yourself like that?
They have to force me out.
Outside?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then now I guess I have a reputation that I don't go nowhere. Because I'm like, no one invites me anywhere.
Really?
No, for nothing.
Come on, guys. Come on, guys.
I'm going to say it. They don't invite me nowhere.
Maybe they're worried.
BET always invites me. Thank you, BET. Y'all make me feel seen. In Essence, thank y'all. But and nobody else. They don't invite me nowhere.
Why do you think that is?
Because, you know, Yan says, because I don't go nowhere.
Well, because you have to be. They have to remember that you want to be out and
I know, but yeah, that's what happens.
Legacy. Mm. Do you ever think about yours?
Yes.
What is it? What do you?
I would love to leave generational wealth for my grandkids. Mm. And I would like to leave have a sweet place in everyone's heart that I met.
Mm. Because people look at you and they see Nipsey forever, right? Do you have a responsibility, or do you put that responsibility on yourself to kind of almost like rep his legacy? Or
I mean, especially for my son. Mm. You know what I mean? We share a 5-year-old, so yeah, I have to. But I'm very big on integrity and honor naturally. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to always intend to hold myself up and have integrity in what I do and honor in what I do and, you know, try to always think about, like, what would Hustle do if it was me? Mm. So I just try to maintain that, what he would do.
Mm. And that feels like a what would Hustle do. I feel like the Marathon store should have a what would Hustle do t-shirt.
I'm always thinking, like, what would Hustle do in this situation? Mm.
That's amazing. I ask you that because I think some people could get lost in somebody else's legacy. You know what I mean? When you're connected to somebody so strong and people look to you for that,
He would never want me to do that. Mm. He would never want me to do that. So many conversations we had about my own destiny, my own marathon. You know, he used to always be like, Boog, you your own. You the one. You got to, like, you know, he would hype me up so much. Like, he would never want me to just get lost in his purpose and miss my mark, whatever that is, big or small. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't want that. Like, I wouldn't want that for anybody. I wouldn't want my kids to be caught up behind me either, you know?
A very easy mistake for people to make.
Well, yeah, because you also feel like, you know, you're still attached to them.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of your own purpose and living in your truth makes you more connected to them. You know what I mean? The very thing we're afraid to do is what keeps us away.
Mm-hmm. What's on your bucket list? Do you have something, one thing you want to do?
Live in an ashram for like a year and devote like a very monk style life for a year or two.
1 year. Mm-hmm. And what would that entail?
Just like devote to God. I don't know why all day.
My voice went down here when I asked you that.
Because I'm deeper than the earth. No, I would just like to like spend time only devoting to God in nature. I want to like get that deep within myself.
For a year?
Yes. So okay, yes. What? And then like, all this like natural food, and then like go to the waterfall and shower in the waterfall and just.
I could do that for 2 weeks strong.
Really?
Yes.
But imagine what a year does to you. Yeah. You'll probably never come back the same.
Is that what you want? Because, like, would you want to not come back the same?
Yeah. Mm. I feel like it might be the jolt I need one day. I'm telling you, I just am, like, a big student on truth. Like, I want to know, especially after this happened. I'm just like, okay, God, I want to know a lot of your mysteries.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing, no?
Well, my relationship with God. And I remember hearing people used to say, you know, you don't really have a relationship till you question God. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of questions afterwards, real ones.
You want to share any?
I just was like, you know, I prayed really hard when I heard he had got shot. And so then I felt like, prayer didn't work. So then I was like, what's really going on? Why, how? I feel like God dropped the ball on me. That's how I felt. I took it real personal. Mm-hmm. And then I started to feel like, why not you? Mm-hmm. Why not you, girl? Who are you? Women go through this daily. Why not you? And so then I had to get out my ego. And then my relationship started.
Ooh. Ooh, I just felt something when you said that. I caught a little.
Look, yeah, you did. See, I told you, it's something. Something is happening.
What is that?
I don't, I'm telling you.
That's crazy.
It's called this truth and like confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
I like when spirit confirms.
There's something you said earlier in this that I don't know. It will stick with me forever because I never really thought about it. You said earlier about you sitting in front row at a funeral. And I do remember watching, because I wasn't there at NIP's service. I watched that on TV, and you came out with your kids, and I don't know if everybody, when you came out, everybody was like, because everybody had been feeling for you so strongly, and
yeah,
and you seemed, I don't know, just like so regal, and so, did you feel that way? You looked so put together and strong.
I just felt like it was surreal, mm-hmm. And I felt like I can honestly say God was carrying me through that. That wasn't me. That was all God. Because there was no way. I didn't even want to get dressed. I was going to wear sweats.
And, were you really?
I'm not getting. Yeah.
Did somebody pull you aside?
Somebody pulled me aside. Puff.
Really?
Puff pulled me aside and was like, look, bud, you have showed everybody what it looks like to hold a man down and to love him. Now show them what it looks like when it all crumbles. That's your responsibility. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing that. But Puff was more, you know, he's like a real brother.
Mm. He's been through a lot of loss too.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you show up. Because he heard, I guess, I don't know who told Puff I was.
Somebody called Puff. Somebody called Puff. Somebody in your family, on your call team, call Puff. Like, yo, talk to Lauren.
Because I was like, I'm wearing whatever. I'm not supposed to this now, you know, I was like giving that. And so he was like, no, show up. Show up with your head up. So I really think God just carried me through that because I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I stood on 2 feet.
Like you got up that day. You had your hair done.
I was just there. Mm-hmm. I was just there. It was like I was floating through it. Mm-hmm. I was legit. I don't remember half of it.
And when do you come back?
when it was like all done, like it was over. Mm-hmm. It was over. And everybody went back to their lives and it faded to black. Then it got real. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, oh shit, you in this. Mm. It's like, it's a tunnel, baby, and you gotta walk through. It's no shortcuts out. You can't turn back around because there's nothing back there. And all you see is pitch black ahead. You don't know how long this tunnel is, and ain't nobody else in it with you. You hear some people, but you can't see them.
Ooh. Do you ever want to give up?
Yes.
In those moments, do you think about that?
Yeah, mm. I do. But then I also feel like my kids deserve happiness. Mm. And I always like, my kids deserve a very happy mom. They deserve joy. Why would I rob them of that? Mm. You know, so that gets me up.
Mm. And they seem like they have joy. They seem like, I mean, from the pictures.
No, Cam loves when I go to work. He's like, you're going to work? You got a job? I'm like, so I'm like, please give me a job for him, because it just, don't ever, he aww, loves when I'm at work, because it makes him feel like our old life. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It makes him feel like, oh, she's moving, like life is happening. You
yeah,
know?
Because did you let them see you dark? Like when you were in that, did they?
Yeah.
Well, they had no choice, right? Yeah. You weren't going to abandon them.
It was real.
They saw
it. And I was very honest with them. This is life. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pretend this don't exist. This is sadness.
Some people might, you know.
I mean, it's just, I think it's just a choice in parenting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very transparent with my kids because, you know, I don't want them to have a false reality of life. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I want them to be like strapped up and ready to go.
Where are you, if you don't want to answer this or you don't like the question, we throw it away.
What?
But where are you with love?
Oh, I this doesn't bother me because here's the thing. I have another perspective on relationships and you don't want to have that conversation with me.
Okay.
I think a lot of them are ego-driven and they're not pure.
I believe that too.
So why would I take myself in this vulnerable state into my ego and I'm trying to get out of it? I'm in death of the ego space. Why do I need another? Why? Does that make my life complete? I'll never get married. Does that mean I'm not on purpose?
I need you to explore.
I'm going to get a lot of slack for this one because I have a whole thing about it.
No, I need to know.
Okay.
That. I mean, that's not a small thing to drop. Like,
okay.
Because relationships are hard as fuck.
Absolutely.
Right? And so.
Mine was.
It was
very hard. Hell yeah.
Because we make it like a fantasy in our heads. Like, no. You guys had the perfect relationship. You were on the horse.
Listen,
we saw you
had,
on the horse.
We had pure love. We had pure love, but that does not mean that we were not human and our egos did not get attached in aspects of our relationship. But we definitely had pure love.
But you had enough intention to probably like dissect or break down.
Always.
Okay.
Good intentions.
But break that down for people.
Yes.
About relationships and ego, and because some people probably don't even think about that.
No, and I didn't think about it until I wasn't in relationship anymore because of the death, right? A lot of times, not all the time, we are in such of a, in our ego that we are in possession of another person. We're not experiencing them. We're not totally loving them and letting them be free. We think we're supposed to be together forever. Mm. And that's not a spiritual relationship. Spiritual relationship is without the ego. It is, we are together. I bring you up, inspire you, you inspire me. Now, if there ever comes a point where I'm not inspired anymore and that now I'm in my ego, now I feel I need to possess you. Now I feel the need to control you and you're mine, I'm in my ego. Mm. And that's not love. It there's love in there, but now I'm operating more in my ego and not in my pure love. Mm. And I can say this because I operated from these spaces before.
I was gonna ask you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, you
yeah.
Mine.
Yeah.
And can't nobody, you know what I mean? But that nobody is yours unless the agreement is that we're gonna experience Earth a little bit longer than some. Mm-hmm. Right? I just don't feel the need to participate in my ego and someone else in theirs anymore. And I've experienced pure love. I am not without pure love. I might not ever be married, but I experience pure love. And that's with
you
Nip.
Experience it now.
I mean, with Nip. I got that. I got to see that on Earth.
Ooh.
I don't need to do that again. I like to feel enlightenment with God. Now, like I said, I don't know when I'm 50, 60, 70. Mm-hmm. But 37,
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I'm good. I don't want it.
So how did you get that with Nip? How did you put ego aside?
I didn't get to do it when Nip was here.
Oh.
I didn't get to do it when he was here. I was very much in my control. I love you so much, I wanted to just hold on to you forever. Mm. Then life happened. Then it's like you can't hold on forever.
No.
Then I had to learn how to have the spiritual relationship. Then I had to dig deep in them myself. But I mean, I wasn't always so in my fear of losing him. Because that's another thing, we get in our fear of losing this relationship, this connection, what our life looked like together, that then we just hold on to it so tight, it ends up slipping out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I lost myself in a lot of aspects of my relationship, but I didn't start like that. It was very pure, good intention. We loved each other, right?
Yeah.
And we loved each other till the end of time. But I was still human, and I didn't learn that part of myself yet.
Mm.
I didn't know I had that possession and like, oh, I love you so much, please don't leave.
That's a good reminder for people to just check themselves.
I mean, it's really hard to learn.
Can you be, because you could do that now in retrospect, but can you do that in actual real life? Not you, but I'm just
I don't
general,
know,
right?
And I don't want to know. See my point?
See.
I'm cool. Like, I don't even know if I want to practice that. It's hard. It's really hard.
Right.
You know what I mean? And,
well,
I think,
that.
You know, I do believe in love, and I think love is beautiful. And like I said, I experienced pure love on Earth, for real. I can, like, right hand to God. I loved him with every inch of his soul, and I believe he did the same. I just, you know, I think moving forward on Earth for me is about God, me and my kids, you know, making them stable. What am I supposed to do here? You know what I mean? How deep am I to go here? I just want to do that.
I think that's fascinating for people to look at and think about in their own relationship, because we all do that, right?
It's natural.
You probably even do it to some extent. I don't know if you do, because you had this experience and enlightened, but we probably even do that with our kids.
For sure. I'm like, wait, where are you going? You know what I mean?
Right.
You're gonna go to college. Like, yeah, of course. But
yeah.
And I think that it's harder to not be like that with your kids, because you start off as a micromanager, and then that changes to just like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then
trust me, I know, mine's in college.
See?
I'm like a consultant now.
Yeah, you're a consultant. Ooh, Lord. See, I ain't reached that point
it's
yet.
It's tough.
See, and now you're trying to throw me in relationship. I ain't have time for that. I got to deal with these damn kids. I'm already stressed out. I'm like, no, don't go.
I love that notion, though, because most people operate from two emotions, and it's either love or fear. So all the other things that happen, it's usually can fall under one of those. It's disguising as. So when you talk about ego and all that, a lot
fear.
Of that is fear, right?
All
so fear. So I love my man so much, I don't want him anything to happen to him. I don't want him. So I'm gonna keep him right here. It's because it's fear.
Total
or,
fear.
Yeah. Or am I good enough? Or am I? You know.
In the competition aspect of it all. Ooh. I'm out that game. I'm so happy I'm out that game.
You out that game? That's not a fun game.
Done. God bless it, though.
Well, I'm
See,
well.
I just need to be like a nun somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not really. I mean, I respect you. And I understand your decision. I really do. And I think you're in a beautiful place. And I want you to stay in a beautiful place. And stay healthy and safe. But I don't know. As somebody who really genuinely just likes you and connects with you.
Yeah.
I think at least you should just be open to whatever God puts in your path at some point, but you know who that has nothing to do with you.
I think people and it makes people afraid to hear me say that because then they have to, not saying you, but like then it's like, can people really exist by themselves?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It kind of like
and have the full
it disrupts a fantasy.
Uh-huh.
It disrupts this notion that we have to be in these like strong relationship
units.
And here's the truth. if my situation didn't end via death, I'd still be in it deep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not even having this notion of this. And maybe if I did, it would have came in another lesson. It just came in this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you have many lessons to teach us all.
On my TED Talk.
What would your TED Talk be on?
Death.
Really?
It would be on death, and it would be on what happens when your earth blows up? What happens after that? How do you, what is that? What do the ashes look like? Mm-hmm. How do you pick up from ash? It's like Phoenix rising.
That should be the name of your TED Talk. Phoenix rising.
Yeah.
Lauren rising.
Lauren rising.
Lauren Rice.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm into that. And I'm trying to get Anita Baker ticket. So, like, those things I'm
I'm sure we can work that out.
Like, her at the Venetian. I need that. I need to see, you know what I mean? That's a couple of things. That's on my bucket list. Anita Baker. At the Venetian.
At the Venetian.
I'm like a Rochelle Farrell, Anita Baker. Give me some Will Downing. I'm happy.
You're a happy girl.
Mm-hmm.
We all want you to be a happy girl.
Just give me some Anita Baker ticket. Okay. Where's Hank at?
We're on it. So much, baby.
Thank you.
That was so good.
That was so yummy. It was yummy.